Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
Hey, it's a blessing to have Gil and Emily in our congregation, and just look forward to hearing what God has placed upon his heart, and I hope you just give me your attention this morning and just embrace what God has placed upon his heart. Amen.
Okay. Thank you, and good morning to you. Hopefully when I'm teaching here, I won't be clearing my throat so much, but if I do, don't worry about it. It's just probably an aftermath of all the couple weeks ago when I had pneumonia and different things and just a lingering on. But I'm up here by faith, and I'll just pray that it will continue. You know, I'll be able to teach and not grunt too much up here. And it is an honor to be here. I was thinking about the message this week, and I was reminiscing about my own life as far as preaching. I've been in church, pastoring, where I preach two messages a week. And you think, gosh, that must be hard. And well, when I look back on it, it really isn't in such a way you think so, because you get on a roll. And you can get into series. And, you know, series build. And you preach one Sunday, and next Sunday you add some more and so on. So, but I'll tell you, coming up here, the last time I preached is, gosh, must be 20 years ago. No, I don't know. I don't know when I preached. It was on righteousness. I do remember my subject. Most pastors forget what they preach. You know, I did. I know when people would ask me, why'd you preach on last Sunday? I said, gosh, I forgot. That's par for the course, I believe. But I was thinking about it almost 53 years ago. I preached my first message in front of a congregation, and it was at Beatrice, Nebraska, at St. John's Lutheran Church, and it was live on the radio. Quite an introduction for me. And so I was thinking about that this week, and I thought also about the sermon hymn. They called it a sermon hymn. That was a song that they would play and sing before you got up and gave your 15-minute message. And I looked it up and to see the sermon hymn, and the sermon hymn is one that is kind of entitled, My Hope is Built on Nothing Else Than Jesus Christ, or On the Solid Rock of God I'm Standing. So I want to, it's such a powerful song. I should tell you that my message that I did give that Sunday, I previously had given it in the seminary, and I got an A on it. But when I look back over the last 53 years, I think the sermon hymn was a whole lot better. I love this hymn, and I just want you to see the words because it relates to what I'm going to share with you this morning. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. And that's why, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I love that hymn, as I said. It's powerful, powerful words. You kind of have to look through some of the words when it's rhyming the veil, the stay, and all that. But you get the message of the hymn, do you not? On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Folks, everything around us, everything else is sinking sand. That's one thing I've been learning in the years I've been around. I don't know if you've been adding up, 53 plus, how old was I when I went to seminary? So how old is this guy? Well, I'm older than I look. No, it's the other way around. But I have progressively learned more and more that it is only Jesus Christ that I can truly rely upon. No matter what storms may be coming our way or what challenges may happen, the tribulations of life, more and more I realize, even my wife, who's very faithful to me, an awesome mate to have had these almost 53 years, and we got married, though, when we were 10. But, you know, as faithful she is, and she's a solid Christian, and I can depend upon her counsel and her wisdom and so on, she still occasionally is sinking sand. Have you not found that true? I myself, when I was walking as a Christian, I started to look at men, mostly because men are mostly in the ministry. There was this prophet, there was this evangelist, there was this teacher, there was this pastor, and new in the Lord and everything like that. I thought almost all of them probably had a one-on-one communication with God. And so whatever they said, boy, you know, that was it, you know. But I found out that every person that I've ever had some faith in, or maybe I was falling a little bit too close, has disappointed me. And you know something? You know what else I found? That was true with me. People who would look to me, maybe when I was a pastor or whatever it might be, even as a father of my two children, or a foster father and so on, they would find that, oh, Gil also is sinking sand. And that was so good for them to find that out, because as a father, then always try to direct them to the rock that is above the sinking sand, the rock that never fails, and that rock is Jesus Christ. And so praise God for that, because all these years, sometimes I've been off the rock. Can you all say amen to that for yourself? Yes. But praise God, you know, let's be also encouraging by saying, you know, most of the time we've been on the rock, haven't we? Most of the time we've stuck to what we believed. We've continued on. And even though sometimes things look discouraging, sometimes, like me, last few weeks, I was sick. Never been that long, sick that long. In fact, I don't remember the last time it ever was that way. And I do remember doing one thing. I had to go to the rock. And I found out one of the characteristics of the rock was in 1 Peter 2:24, and that is, by his stripes, I was healed. And so as I was laying there with 103 fever, groaning and moaning, and my wife wasn't even feeling sorry for me, you know, I was concentrating on that scripture. Because right at that time, I said, either bury me or get me well. Because that's about how I was feeling. On Christ, the solid rock, I stood. Praise his name. And like I was saying a little while ago, been married to Emily almost now 53 years. This coming November. But isn't it surprising that we were into that marriage 10 years, and we were headed toward the divorce court? Why did that happen? Or why was it happening? It was because we had our eyes on each other too much, especially the negatives. I mean, we had forgotten all those wonderful reasons why we got married. All you young ones anticipating marriage and so on, this will happen to you. Before you got married, you couldn't find a flaw in each other. But then you start keeping your eyes on the other, And pretty soon those negatives, where'd they come from? And we almost divorced. And the reason was we didn't have our eyes on the rock. We didn't have Jesus, the Lord of our marriage. And praise God, someone led us to the Lord. We got born again, and divorce lost its choice in our marriage. But we did find out is in John 16:33, as you have found out in your life and so on. Let's see, John 16:33, where Jesus says, "In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer." I said, "Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." And that's just one of the things I want you to begin to see about Jesus this morning, the rock. I want you to begin to see who he really is for you. I just love what Pastor Brent read this morning when we picked for this reading, how Jesus himself humbled himself and became a man. And he, you know, he was God, but when he found himself as a form of a man, he humbled himself. And like he said, he laid aside all those royal characteristics and attributes he had in heaven and became a man. And you know, see, that's why back then it was hard to believe in Jesus. Oh, you think it'd be easier back then than it is today? You think it'd be easier back then when Jesus was walking the earth to believe that he was the Son of God? While the Greeks and the Hebrews and the Jews, they couldn't understand it. He was a human being. If I was looking around here this morning, let me see, I'd have to look at all the men. But if you all would kind of screw your head around a little bit, who would you pick that would you think, oh, that must be Jesus? Where's he at? I heard he was coming to church this morning. Close. But, you know, he looked just like you and me. He wasn't. The Bible didn't even say he was handsome. That's why I passed you up. You're handsome, see? He was just a man. And he looked just like you and me. And he talked like you and me. He ate like you and me. He went to the bathroom. He slept. He was tired. And he went about telling people that Father God had sent him on earth. Father God had anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and that Jesus went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. And that was Jesus. And he looked just like a man. You see, if there had been fire coming out of him all the time, consuming those, you know, sinners, and oh, of course, we all would have been consumed. I said, we all would have been consumed. I said, just the sinners would be consumed by fire. Then I realized we'd all be consumed. But he didn't go about doing that. A prostitute came up to him, and here this God himself. And everybody around could not believe how he treated her. Or the leper actually touching a leper. Touching. You're not supposed to do that. But Jesus came and he was representing God. He was a perfect image of God. If you want to know who the Father is, Jesus said, "Look at me and look at the things I've done." So we're going to talk about Jesus more and more about how he is for us in our lives today, because we do need to look at Jesus once again today to renew our commitment to Jesus, to renew our faith in him, to renew who he is and accept who he is, and then walk our lives out with that information. Because I don't know about you, but the world does seem to be a little dark. I know after the Republican National Convention, they say, oh, that was such a dark thing. Well, I'd say, I don't know about the convention, but I do know about the world. In my opinion, in 74 years, oops, gave it away. Anyway, in 74 years of my life, this is the darkest I remember. I know there's been Vietnam, Kuwait, Iraq, Afghanistan, and all the different things, but it seems darker. I don't know why. Maybe because they're calling evil good, or maybe good evil, and they're doing things that are so wild out there, saying so many unusual things. It kind of makes us sometimes wonder what's next. I don't like to put down politicians. It's hard to put them up nowadays. Oops, I just did it. But this a few days ago, Secretary of State Kerry mentioned that the air conditioners and refrigerators are just as dangerous as ISIS. And when I read that, I, of course, went to different sources of making sure that was being said that way. And sure enough, he actually said that. And I thought, oh, my Lord, I don't need to hear this from my leaders. I want something concrete. I want something that's hope. I want something that will, you know, motivate me to be a citizen of this United States, motivate me to be a good father, motivate me to, you know, to believe in our country, to believe that things are going on. And but somebody coming out and comparing, and I went right away to my air conditioner, and I went right away to my refrigerator. I looked at them. I stared at them for a while. But I made a different conclusion. I didn't think they were dangerous. We need to get this country back to looking at the rock. We need to get each one of us who are Christians to make sure we're looking at the rock. When I hear somebody say something like that, I run to the rock. When I see a lot of things happening in the world and so on, I run to the rock. I get into my word. I get into my word and hear what God says. I do not allow the things around me to discourage me. Even though they do make me laugh occasionally, but I do not allow them to discourage me. Because Jesus, the rock, has a plan. He has a plan for each one of us. He has a plan for each and every person on earth. And we can get derailed if we keep our eyes off of the rock. And so, looking to Jesus, who is the rock, I want to just share some scriptures that I want to encourage you with as you leave this. So as when you leave this place today, you will, I hope, have hope more than when you came. Because I hope, I'm using that word, I hope when you came to church today, you came hungry. You came looking for answers. You came wanting to hear God say maybe something personally to you. Because if you came that way, in spite of me, you will hear something from God. But if you come to church and not anticipating it, saying, how long does it last? When will it be over? Gil's preaching today. He's long-winded, boy. It could be past 11:30. But if you came anticipating, if you came wanting God to speak to you personally, then you'll find before you leave, he will. But if you don't come that way, I'll tell you how you're going to leave the same way you came. So may I encourage you with looking at some of these verses, because when we look to Jesus, remember, he is the connection to Father God. If you want to ask the Father, and you want to ask for sure what to do or how, what you can receive from the Father, what promises has the Father made, then all you have to do is go to his word, and you'll find that every promise that Father God ever made, he said, it's through my son Jesus that you can receive that by faith. So let's look at a few. Philippians 4:19. It'll be flashed up here. My God shall supply all of your needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Oh, I thought somebody surely would get up and shout. Does anybody have any needs here? Boy, Pastor, you've been doing a good job. I tell you, no one needs out here. Are you afraid to answer? I have needs. I do. And it's okay if you have needs. It'd be good to confess that, you know, for some reason, I am finding that I cannot do it on my own. More and more. I know when you're young like this, young lady sitting here, I mean, she probably thinks she can do anything. That's okay. Keep up the zeal. Don't lose it. But are you finding more and more that it's that you really do need help in every area? Well, praise God. Look at that. My God shall supply your need. I know I said my God, but I know he's your God, and your God will. Get that inside you. Write that scripture down and meditate it on this week. When a need arises, you say, well, what was that? What was that Gil said? Where was that? Was that Hezekiah 3:16 or where was that? No, it was Philippians 4:19. Another thing about Jesus. Remember, Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus is the only way to the Father. And if you need something from the Father, you come to the Father through Jesus. And if Jesus has accomplished it for you on in his ministry and his life on earth, then you as a Christian have a right to it. Hallelujah. I'm preaching better than you're shouting, I'll tell you. At least I think I am. I'll ask my wife later on. The next thing would be that in John 14:27, where Jesus talks about the subject of peace. Peace. You know, we Christians, we don't look at the world for peace. We don't look for the candidate for president as far as, oh, we can just get him, her in, we will have a better future. I could hear that a lot next week, a better future. We heard a lot last week about making America great again. Kind of like parallels, aren't they? Better future, making America great. But what about our peace? What about peace? The peace that passes all human understanding. It says, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My friends, this week, if you're getting a little unpeace in you, look the scripture up. Get it before you. And you will find that God watches over his word and brings it into your life. You need peace? What area? You need peace? Look at it. And he will give you that peace. You will. It just happens because God watches over his word. Now, if you think, if I could just get my spouse in line, we'd have peace. If I could just get the kids to behave, I'd have peace. If I could just get the boss at work, I'd have peace. If I could just, no. Sorry. Delete. It's Jesus is your only peace. He is the only one. You know, have you ever done that? You're going through some real struggles, and you're working, you're a slave, and you're doing everything, you're thinking everything, you're trying to do everything, you're trying to, man, I mean, you're maxing your brain out, and trying to find out a way to get see through this whole thing, and whatever, whether it's finances or whatever it might be, and you just know that, well, once we get this settled, once I get my spouse in line, once I get this in line, no. Isn't it beautiful? While you're going through it, you can have his peace. And my friends, that is truth, and that's good. Another one. Jesus wants to be your shepherd. That would be found in John 16:7. Is that it? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. How many in here are born again? can't see all the hands, but it's all right, we'll take care of that later if you're not. But if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit. Not Jesus, not the Father, but the Holy Spirit, who's also God. I'll tell you what. That's better than having Pastor Brent. Who else is illustrious around here? Oh, Gary Bohr. You know. Andrea, is that how you say your name? I always have your name, but close enough. Andrea. I know who you are. And, of course, we have Victor. He kind of, oh, Karen, of course, too. Now, you put all those people together, Ma. I mean, you got a bunch of people. We got to go and realize we've got the Holy Spirit. He really is in you if you're born again. Now, you may not have been utilizing him as much, but he really is. He really, really is in you. He really is. And if you haven't utilized him, it's good to start. Now, in this church, we believe in praying in an unknown language. And, right? All right. Well, see, you want to start hearing the Holy Spirit a little bit more in your life, a little bit more direction, a little bit more of that inner voice, that hidden witness, that whisper. Well, pray in your language more. And you'll find that your spirit becomes more sensitive to his spirit. And so when it comes to needing direction, as I just said, our shepherd, guiding and helping us, a paraclete is another word, one called alongside to help us. Oh, my. You know, I hate to say this, but I believe in all the years that I've been around Christians, that not very many utilize the Holy Spirit. They do not pray in tongues very much. And it's amazing how you can pray in tongues so very much going to work, and you can be praying in tongues. Or taking a break, you can pray in tongues. Or sitting around at the five-minute break right here. Or just simply walking downtown, or whatever it might be. You can pray in the Spirit. And when you do, the Bible says, you fine-tune your spirit. You build up your faith. You become more sensitive. I know. It's tough to put the cellular down. Because you want to know who or what your sister's doing at 10 o'clock in the morning, and she's simply waking up, or you want to know what's happening over there, and you just got to catch up on, what's that called? Facebook. Or is it Twitter, another one? And Bitter, I forget the other one. But you know, there's nothing wrong with those things as long as they don't take away from our time with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I almost got onto Facebook because my grandkids says, Grandpa, you got to get on Facebook. And I did for a while. And that's another story. So I'm just saying is there is time. There is time. Emily, at least say amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay, did somebody else say amen? I didn't hear you. Okay. All right, let's go to another one. I forgot how much time I have, Em. 15 minutes yet? Oh, easily I'll get done. I'm going to preach all 15 minutes, so if you wanted to leave, thought you were going to leave early, forget it. I haven't been up here for a while. I've had a lot of things on my heart. Pastor says, always, you know, what's on his heart? And I tell you, I'm trying to really get it concise. But if I can leave you with some of these things about Jesus, it'll change your life in a world that changes all the time. Now, the next one is, he's our victory, our triumph. You look at 1 Corinthians 15:57. Pastor quoted this in the prayer before church. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody going through a challenge right now? Okay, got some hands. How about going through a tribulation? How about an affliction? How about doubt? Okay, worry? Yeah, we got, we got confession going here. Now be careful. Well, guess what? My Bible tells me that Jesus makes us triumph through it all. I said, or did you say? Or did the Bible say? The Bible says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. You know, I just love to see somebody who said, man, I got it, and just get up and start getting excited. Wow. We're talking about some scriptures here today that are so powerful. And if they're not becoming more powerful to you right now, then I would say you need to get born again. Oh, I was when I was a little kid. Well, get born again. I say, folks, if we aren't getting excited about these scriptures and they aren't starting to minister life to us, then we're pretty dead. And we got to get born again before the Spirit can minister then more into our minds, renewing our minds and getting us more on fire. Oops, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. That's not in my notes. Back it off. All right, the next one. He's my healer. I quoted a little while ago, 1 Peter 2:24. And the last part of 1 Peter 2:24, the first part's great too, but I'm not, you know, that's getting, you know, how we get born again and so on. But 1 Peter 2:24, those last six words, by whose stripes, would you read that for me, please? The last three words were. Does anybody know grammar? Not grandma. I didn't say grandma. I said grammar. You know, grammar is a pretty foreign word today. They don't teach it much in school anymore. And that's why people don't talk too good and don't write too good. But I guess we'll get by. And anyway, but the word I want you to look at is were. I'm going to just give you a little bit of little thing here. Last few weeks, like I told you, everybody knows it. If you don't, you did it today. I really got sick. I had that virus went around, 103 fever, 3 days. And I got over that, and I said, wow, made it. And then two days later, something like that, pneumonia hit me. You know, I guess that's kind of what the devil likes to do to us. When you're down, he likes to get on you and stomp, stomp, stomp. Well, praise God, I knew these words. And these words, it says, I was healed. So the condition I'm in at that time, I said, this is temporary. This is transient. This shall also pass. Because the Bible says I was. See, a lot of people look after, Gil, how are you feeling today? Are you healed? Well, yes, I'm healed. Oh, it's good. I'm glad you're feeling well again. But you know something? When I came down with that fever, God's word didn't change about me. And that's why I was able to confess the word and walk through that trial, that affliction, that tribulation. And that's how I'll walk through the next one if I get it. My friends, the Bible says you were. And if you were, then you is. And therefore, if something comes against you in the form of sickness, you can feel very confident that you will recover, as the word says. Now, if you don't believe that, I can't guarantee you recovery. See, the word is there for us to believe. Okay, let's keep going. The next one, the Lord is always present in my life. The Lord is always present in my life. Hebrews 13:5 says, when Jesus says, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. That's what the last part says. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I don't know about you, But I've had people leave me. I've had people forsake me. I've had people say 3 days before they never talked to me again, "Gil, you're one of the greatest pastors I've ever met." I used to be a pastor for many years, and you know, it's amazing what pastors go through. And I'm not going to share that because we don't have enough time. But it is something. When people, you know, slap you on the back and say, "Sure love you, Pastor," and doggone, it's the last time you felt a slap. It happens. Hello? Well, in all that, when some of us have been through divorce, some of us have been through whatever it might be, Jesus says, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." Now, if you're depending upon a human being to not leave you or forsake you more than you're on Jesus, then I hope you're never disappointed. But I tell you what, you never have to be disappointed about Jesus. He'll never leave you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you've done, I mean, you may have, like yesterday, I tell you, I prayed a lot yesterday, read the Word a lot. And out of the clear blue, I lost it. What do you mean lost it? Well, I just kind of, you know what it means to lose it? Okay. Do you know what it means to lose it? Do you know what it means to lose it? Hello out there? Do you know what it means to lose it? Okay, then I don't have to say anything. I lost it. And I just got done praying. I don't know how many hours. I'm bragging, of course. But I thought I was, I mean, man, this is one spiritual guy. I've been in the Word, and I've been concerted. I didn't even go outside and look at my garden. I've been in the Word. And out of the clear blue, out of the stupidest thing, I lost it. Well, there goes my message for tomorrow. There's no way God is going to bless me now after praying and studying all that time, and then I lose it. You know, oh, man, there goes my confidence. Oh, my, I just can't share. I don't know even what I can share. I just, Emily, you preach. But she says something to me. "Hey, Gil, you blew it. Get over it." And why? Why? When I lost it, Jesus didn't say, "See you, Gil. See you. You don't behave yourself better. You know, you keep doing this. Hey, what do you expect me to do? Stay around? I don't want garbage in my ear. I want out of here. Behave yourself, shape up." When I noticed that the angel come back and said, "Gil's been doing pretty good, I'll come back." No, he never left me before, during, and after. And you know something? It wasn't very long afterwards I realized it, and I was just so renewed. I had confessed my sin, and he cleansed me, and I felt as if it hadn't happened. Because he said something to me. He said what? I'm sorry, I have a hearing loss. What was that? "I will never leave you or forsake you." Hey, you're listening. Good. Thank you. All right, let's keep going. We're almost done. His righteousness, you know, we have been, you know, Jesus was made sin so that we might be made his right standing with the Father. I preached on that the last time, so I'm not going to say any more now. You need to go get that message if you weren't here. They're free. Or you can go online. Right. I forgot about that. Online. You know what that means? Does anybody need to explain? Okay. Just as once in a while, 74-year-olds, we say, "How do you do that? How'd you do that?" You know what I'm talking about? People that are a little bit younger. Jesus, the name above all names, is he not? He is the name above all names. Thank you. The name above all names. So no matter what it is in life, he's above it. He is above it. Hallelujah. Now, I could stop the message now. I have 5 minutes, so I won't. But if I did stop it right now, it is only us here who would have benefited from this message. And I hope, you know, through it all, like I said, it can't be me, in spite of me, that the Holy Spirit somehow talked to you and got through to you something about God the Father through Jesus Christ. But there's more than just coming to church, because, you know, the church of itself is not for the church.
We don't, as Christians, do things because it's for us. As soon as we get born again, it becomes for others. And so I just want to remind you that after you leave today, we want to be out there telling others about who we found out this morning, some of the things about Jesus. In our conversations, I like it like this. In a conversation, I always tell people, like you're talking to somebody and says, "I'm a Christian." "Oh, you're one of those?" And then I reply, "You mean you aren't?" And I get to know the person well, and I says, "Yeah, in our church, we believe in praying in unknown languages." "You're one of those?" And I say to them, "You're not?" Or they say, I might say, I believe in healing. My wife's been healed of cancer and so on. "Oh, you're one of those." And I say to them, "You mean you're not?" Hello? We need to be bolder, folks, as Christians. We've got the message. The world doesn't have the message. Don't let him intimidate you. Go out there and make something happen. I loved it when the youth came back from the camp, youth camp, was it in Lexington or somewhere out there? The first Sunday they came back, it really blessed me. They got up here and they were so excited. And they got around the mic and said, "Yeah, somebody got prayed in tongues. And somebody, an exorcism, there was an exorcism." That means that Jesus delivered them from a demon. And they were so excited. And I thought, wow, that's great. Oh, that's great. Why were they excited? Because they had met Jesus. They had seen Jesus. They had seen him do something. Talking doesn't do it. Eventually, we need to stop talking and do something. And I was so blessed by those youth. So blessed. But the next Sunday they came back, and if I remember correctly, now I have a hearing loss, but I don't think I heard anything. They said it was kind of boring, you know, the speaker all week long. And I didn't hear anybody say, "Well, somebody got born again," or "somebody got filled with the Spirit," or "somebody got delivered," or "somebody got healed." And they were kind of bored. Why were they kind of bored? Because no one really seemed to experience Jesus. Jesus didn't manifest himself in the way he wants to. And if those youth are here today, and I don't know, I know Daniel's gone, but I think he's one of them. I would tell you youth this. Don't wait for excitement to come to you like that. You were all up there in that campground, and you were all concentrating together. You had a great speaker, and the Spirit of God was free to move, and therefore you saw Jesus in action, and it excited you. You thought, wow, this is good. And then you come back, and even like to this Sunday, and now Gil's talking, and well, you got to listen occasionally, too. But listen, young people, as well as older ones, go out this week and make something happen. I mean, the world is so topsy-turvy right now. They're at loose ends. They're looser than a goose. They don't know what's coming, what's going. And in the verse I'm looking for? Philippians 2:15, it says, "That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation." Don't tell them, but they're crooked and perverse. They probably won't know what that means, so. But you know what it means, do you not? All right, you do. Thank you. But you're to shine as lights in the world, my friends. That's you and me. So go out this week and make something happen. Go out this week and, you know, if somebody's sick, go ahead, lay hands on them and ask, "Can I pray for you?" Hey, you know what? They might get healed in spite of ourselves. And they would sure be happy if they did. If somebody would have come when I had the 103 fever, my wife prayed and so on. But I tell you what,
It just seemed like I just was going to walk it through. And praise God, I'm here today to tell you I did recover. But there's people sometimes like that, or people who are lonely, or people discouraged, whatever it might be. The Spirit of God is prompting you to go to that person. Go to them. Your life will become more exciting. You know, Pastor Brent's a great preacher. This was a great message, even though I said it about myself. No, seriously, though, I'm saying, you see, you hear this, and we come and we hear, but we got to go and do. We need to go. And you see, that's why you young people, that's why you go to school. School's starting pretty soon. Did you know that?
Oh, yes, I know. Yeah. I'm so excited, you know.
Well, why are you going to school? Good question. No, you're going to school so you can share Jesus sometime, somewhere, someday, sometime. Why do you go to work? Some of you are catching on, I hope. Why are you going to work?
Got to pay the bills.
No. No, that'll happen. You go to work, and you're very observant to find out when and where you can share Jesus with someone. Our son just got a job at the Federal Reserve in Kansas City. And I thank the Lord for what he said to me. He said, well, Dad, it's a good job, pays well, blah, blah, blah. But the only reason I'm going is to share Jesus. And oh, my, did he get into a beehive. Oh, man, I can't share it because it's top secret. But it's unbelievable. But he'll make it. He'll be the light. He'll continue to be the light. He'll be the light. And pretty soon God will start setting up appointments. And he'll be able to share, well, you know, I'm a Christian. It's like when we were camp counselor hosts this last winter. There were so many times that we had opportunities and we used them to share Jesus. I mean, when people ask you, hey, they got tornado warnings all over the place. What should we do? Well, ma'am, I'm a Christian, and my wife and I, we pray and believe that we're going to be protected. We just stay in our camper. I'll tell you one thing, my friends. That gives those people a peace they didn't know was possible. Hello? I've got to quit. My wife says it's time to quit. So praise God. But that's why you go to the grocery store. That's why you go out and eat out today. When you go out and eat out today, how many are going eating out today? Just my wife and I? Okay. Well, whenever you eat out, God, I do thank you for this restaurant. I thank you. We call it blessed. Lord, bless this place so it really prospers. And Father, we thank you for the word we heard this morning in our church. My, we were blessed, Lord. We are so blessed. And so we thank you for this food we're about to eat now as well. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your head bowed. That gives the other people time to look away. But I'm just saying, I'm kind of making fun of, but no, I'm serious about it, though. Okay? Praise God. That's why we go out and eat today. You thought it was because my wife didn't want to cook. No. Of course. I got to be careful here. Hey, anyway, praise the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. Life is going to have its challenges. Life is going to have its tribulations. Life is going to have its afflictions. But praise God. We know the greater one. We know the one that overcame death, sin, and sickness, and poverty, and waste, and hardship, and discouragement, and all those things. He who was the Son of God came down on earth, and he died like a man, and he took the sins upon the world. And because he was raised from the dead, we too can live in the resurrection life as well. Go out and tell somebody, okay? Well, praise God, I am quitting. singers to the front. Hallelujah. Well, either I'll be preaching soon or not at all. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for being here today, in case you knew I was going to preach. Because it is really, I always did say this to people. I said, thank you for coming. I'm serious. Thank you for coming. You actually came and you knew I was going to speak today. Or maybe you forgot. Well, that's too bad. But is there any areas of that we were, I mentioned this morning, an area where you need to receive from Jesus? I'll never forget a 93-year-old woman became a Christian when she was 40 years old. She received Jesus as her Savior. And God really blessed her with a very healthy life. Somebody one day asked her, what do you attribute your good health to? Because before you were born again, you were not a very healthy woman. Well, she said, when I received Jesus as my Savior, I also received Him as my healer. Wow, when I heard that for the first time, that is something. We talk a lot about receiving Jesus as Savior, Lord. What about healer? What about I receive Jesus, my peace? I receive Jesus as my provider. I receive Jesus as my protector. I receive Jesus as my baptizer of the Holy Spirit with evidence of praying in tongues. It's all there, friends. So I just want to give opportunity this morning. You may be all born again, but if you're not, you have an opportunity to receive Jesus as Savior. But how about these other areas? When we were mentioning them, did you identify with, gosh, you know, I'm really not a very peaceful person. I worry a lot about my finances, and I really don't have Jesus as my provider. I just want to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus this morning as one of the many blessings and promises from Father God He is. So would you just, I guess, bow your heads? Or you don't have to bow your head. You can look at God. You can. There's nothing that... I'm just trying to encourage you to, what is that area? Just be honest. Come on up. If you want to close your eyes and think about it, that's good. What is the area that when I mentioned it this morning, it kind of pricked your conscience? And you said, no way do I, no, I can't trust God with that. Or I don't know about, I'm a very anxious person. How could I ever receive Jesus as my peace? Well, guess what? It's not any different than when you receive Jesus as your Savior. There isn't a cotton-picking thing God asks you to change before you receive Him. Did you know that? You can be the rottenest sinner up on a cross near the Savior. Two guys up there. Both murderers. Let me ask you, could either one of them get off the cross and do a good deed and then say, well, by this good deed, I now ask you to become my Savior? Hello? No. Both of them are murderers, but guess what? Only one is in heaven today. The other murderer went to hell because he couldn't humble himself and simply admit he needed a Savior. So what is it in your life? Just think about it right now. What is it? What is it? And just then simply say the words, Jesus, I receive you as my, and then you fill in the word. I receive that now. I receive it. I receive it. And then you just simply walk it out in life. He's the one who supplies it. He's the one that's peace. He's the one that provides. He's the healer. You simply continue to thank Him for what He is now in your life. So when you start feeling anxious, you say, oh, I made Jesus my peace, and I receive that peace right now. I receive it. I will not receive unpeace. Hallelujah.